This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Commercial break. Okay, you heard that in church. Huh? Okay, all religious people are scared now. Where are we going? Okay. We're not advertising for the new church, right? Relax. Next week, Sunday, Derek Puffett and Beryl Puffett will be ministering here. That's the commercial break, okay? So please invite your friends. You've met them in the past. They've been here the last 3 years. So, they will also be ministering during this week on some emotional healing courses. So I think it's really relevant. And if you need more info, please speak to our church office or to Raylene. And she can give you more details of that on Friday and Saturday, okay, to equip yourself. But so they will be preaching here on Sunday, so please invite a friend and come and enjoy God's presence with them as they have a specific impartation. Okay, now let me just check. It's very quiet, okay? Surprise! It's the 6th of August, 1945. No, okay, just check if everybody... Who's watched or clock changed this morning? Can I just see? Okay, so that's not, it's not only mine. Huh? You wanted, what happened? I looked at my, somebody. Apparently technology and the law didn't match up. Yeah, didn't update. This time the law or the government was ahead of technology. No, normally we are behind with technology, you know, but this time it was the other way around. Yeah, anyway. But we've been ministering, we're concluding this morning on our series of prayer series, and hopefully we don't stop praying after that. Actually, hopefully after this, we are more inspired to, okay? We were just talking about prayer and a lot of other things around that, but so many more where God is taking us, but don't see that as a box that you tick, please. It's part of what we do, okay? It's not another series, but we have to allocate time for other stuff as well. So if you've attended and you haven't attended some of that, but I really encourage you that you look differently at prayer than you did before. And if you don't, then I doubt whether we are playing church or not, you know. All I'm just saying is we can't go through talking about prayer, experiencing God's presence, and not allowing the Holy Spirit to challenge us in the way how we approach God in prayer. I see you've got your notebooks, very obedient people there. Oh, lovely. I love to see that. Yeah, good. 6th of August, 1945. Who knows? Oh, if you were in the first service, you should keep quiet. I'll just check you. Okay. Ah, somebody knows his history. The 6th of August, 1945, the U.S. dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. Yeah? Killed 80,000 people, they say. Instantly. Boom. Wiping out 90% of the city and instantly stopping the World War. Or actually, 3 days after that, they dropped another one in Nagasaki, killing another 30,000 people. That's what history tells me, okay? Talk about a weapon of mass destruction. I know you've been following news about all the, you know, uranium and, oh, you know, weapons of mass destruction. We followed the news about Saddam Hussein back then, Iraq and America that went in there. And it surely was a day to be remembered. A lot of people died in that day because of one weapon of mass destruction. I wonder if the church might have some weapons of mass destruction in our midst this morning. Or we might one day walk down the halls of history and discover there were weapons of mass destruction when we look at history and say, wow, man, what the previous generation accomplished just through tapping into that weapon of mass destruction. Could it be that we underestimate the power of prayer this morning in the church? And that would probably justify a lot of amens. I'm going to say that. Could it be that we underestimate the power of prayer in the church? Amen? Amen. I think we underestimate the power of prayer in the church. If I look at us, I look at the church out there, I'm not critical, I'm just on a journey with God. And I will invite you this morning, as we conclude the series, to come to that place that, we just bring ourselves before the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, take me on a new journey in this area of prayer. I mean, are you excited about it? I am so excited. I'm so excited when God, you know, continuously draws me into that place. It's like, I'm just saying to Lord continuously, Lord, do not stop now. Please do not stop now, because I realize there's certain things that you're busy doing now that's not grounded at this moment. It needs to be established. It needs to be rooted in my spirit. And if we run away from that, we run the risk of becoming shallow. Now, before I go into the scripture this morning, I want to lay a foundation, because basically it's from where we've been the last few weeks. Months. I have to say months. It's not weeks. And I'll explain that to you now. That God was with us in a journey, and that I just want to lay a foundation, depart from there. We've been talking about backstage and front stage. Okay? Backstage and front stage. I'll explain that now to those of you who do not know. Altar and porch. Okay? You've been at the intercession training, we've been talking about altar and porch. And basically, it comes down to this, that and I'm going to talk about this morning, about inner room, something there at the back where we engage with God that's not necessarily seen to the world. When you tomorrow morning visit, when you wake up and you spend time with the Lord, there's that backstage. There's something happening there in the inner room. And then there's this front stage where I stand, or where you go out there in the world and engage with people. There's an altar and there's a porch. You get the picture. That's in a nutshell what I'm trying to give. There's much more actually information, much more worth it. Well, here's the thing. If you've missed out on that, that's okay? But it's not okay to not catch up, okay? There's a lot of information, a lot of teaching, a lot of that which we are having on record here, so please speak to our church office and speak to Raleen or speak to any one of your cell leaders. We've given them access to that so that you join us in this, I don't want to say discovery, because I think what God is busy doing is he's working here at the backstage so that he can get us more effective in the front stage. You know, but if you're going to miss this, what I'm talking about this morning is going to seem foreign to you, okay? I'm just encouraging you. It's good for your own personal growth to go and look at the backstage, front stage discussions that we had with Dr. John Andrews, and then also altar and porch with Suzette Hutton as well, that we're currently busy with. So I'm just going to depart from that place, because I believe the Lord takes a while for us to sometimes just grasp that truth. But here's the thing, before we go further, it seems to be that there's tension between the backstage and the front stage. Okay? There's tension, and what affects the other thing is malfunction in the one area will definitely affect the other area. Okay? We'll get there. Okay? So if you're not healthy at the back here, where nobody sees you, what happens? It spills over into the front stage. Does it make sense to you? You can say amen when you, then I know, otherwise I'll have to explain more and more for those of you who are not with it. Okay. They link. So let's turn to scripture. And I want us to read scripture this morning. Normally we take the glasses off this morning. We're going to put on the glasses with that being in mind, because you're going to see that in the scripture as well. Remember when Jesus, just by the way, when Jesus, before he picked his disciples, what did he do? He prayed all night. Before he picked, there was in front, a backstage, front stage. What happened? The back there was more important actually what was happening in the front. Okay. Let me go into that. Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. That famous Holy Spirit, charismatic outpouring of the Holy Spirit scripture. Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. Jesus departs. He appears to more than 500 believers after his resurrection. And he says to them, listen, do not go away. Do not leave Jerusalem until you've received the promise from the Father. That's the Holy Spirit he's referring to. So what happens is he appears to 500, only 120 find themselves that morning in the upper room. And the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. You can underline one accord, because that's stronger than just in one place. Some of the translations just say in one place, but it's more than just one place. It's not just one place, it's one heart, one vision, one desire, one purpose and task, one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all of them. Okay, I want you to see this. It all happens in the same time frame. So they are in one place, in one accord, seeking God's face, and the Holy Spirit is poured out on those people. Okay, fast forward the story to to verse 38. You quickly look at that. Verse 38. Let me just get there as well. Then Peter said to them, now Peter appeared, they appeared to some of the Gentiles, and start ministering to them. And then Peter said this. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall be receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Say with me, the promise is to me. The promise is to me. Okay, what's that promise? The promise is to me, the Holy Spirit, to all of us here. It's for all of us. It's not for young and old. I want to say black or brown, old or whatever. It's for all of us. Huh? That's the Spirit of God. It's been promised to all of us. Okay, take note of that. Because here's the thing. They are in the inner room, in the upper room. Okay, Scripture talks about the upper room. Somewhere where nobody sees them, seeking God's face. The church, let's put it that way. The apostles, they are seeking God. And then the next moment, the Holy Spirit is poured out in the upper room. Now they step out from the upper room after they've been equipped, after they received the Holy Spirit, starting to speak in tongues as a result of that, as a sign of that. By the way, there's a difference between tongues as a sign and tongues as a gift, okay? Just to set it straight here. A lot of people think, you know, I don't speak in tongues because the Bible says in Corinthians that only some speak in tongues. That is, he's referring there to tongues as a gift, okay? That needs to be interpreted, okay? I'm talking about tongues as a sign. There's a bit more there than what I'm telling you, okay? So we're touching on that in Encounter 1 in our Bible school as well. And you, if you want to challenge your Sally, to ask him to to explain that to you as well. Anyway, that would be good. Okay, but I'm talking about tongues as a sign. That's a sign that you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. So they receive the Holy Spirit. They leave that room. They walk out into the street, into the front stage. Then they encounter the Gentiles. They encounter the people in need of Christ. Peter starts preaching boldly. The people come to repentance. And as a result of that, 3,000 people are being added to the church. So what happened in the backstage affected their ministry in the front stage. Okay? What happened at the altar affected them in the porch. Okay, can you see the dividing line there? Now, this was with a group of people. Let me show this same example, or let's read from the same example about individuals, because it's working exactly the same with the church as much as it's working with individuals this morning. Turn with me to Acts 10, and we're going to read from verse 1. I wanted to skip a few, but then it boomeranged in the first service, so I'll have to read it up to verse 16. I didn't want to read there because of time constraint, but now we have to. So if you bear with me. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Okay, now I want you to see this. Cornelius is praying to God, okay, a Gentile. He's praying to God, he's seeking God, he's seeking this God. He gave a lot, but he's still in searching of a God. He's still in searching of answers, okay. As he's praying, God appears to him and he says to him, send men to Peter. Now look what's happening at a different place, at a different stage. Somebody else is also praying. Look, get this. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. Scary, man. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Okay? This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Let's stop there for a moment. Okay, so what happens? Peter gets this vision. He prays and gets this vision. God says, "Listen, what I've declared clean is clean." Okay, and basically, he's talking about the nations and the Gentiles there. Bear in mind that there's somebody on their way to Peter's house. Peter was praying. Both were praying. Something is about to happen here. Two individuals. And jump with me to verse 44. So Peter gets the message. The guys get to Peter's house. Living with Peter the Tanner. Simon Peter, sorry. Yes, it's me. Well, can you come with us? We're going to Cornelius. Peter already had the meeting with God. Peter already knows that these men, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit said to Peter, "Listen, there's men down there. You need to go with them." So he already connected to God. He connected to God, and now they're going off to Cornelius. Verse 44. They met, and then Peter starts preaching. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. So Peter's there with Cornelius and his family. He starts sharing the gospel, ministering. And the Bible says, "And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Wow, man. I love this. I love how God sets us up. I love how Scripture portrays this whole thing. Because here's the thing. There's a place of private ministry, and then there's a place of public ministry. There's the altar and the porch, the backstage and the front stage, the upper room, and then also the street or the marketplace here. Can you see that? With both of them. Peter individually busy with God, speaking to God, and then God speaks to him, and he connects him to a Cornelius. Okay. I want you to see this. This is the only thing you get this morning from the service. You can go home now, okay? I'll turn my back after this, and then I won't be offended if you left church. I only need to get this one. Let me show you this as well. We had this. This is not the picture, but I'll talk about the picture. It's there. If the church was a car, this is supposed to be a double cab. That was on the request of the service. I can draw another one if you want me. But the people in the first service wanted the double cab. Okay. We're busy building a new church. Now, we can go very glamorous. It costs us money, by the way. But anyway, putting our faith out there, putting our dreams out there, putting according to what God places in our hearts, according to the size and what and no what. But we can build the most beautiful church. But if that church is not filled with the presence of God, it's an empty shell. Amen. We can have the nicest meeting this morning with the most beautiful type of people. And we can have the nicest musicians up here. Hopefully, you will enjoy the sermon. But that's anyway. We can have all of that. But if we don't have the presence of God, that's the one thing that distinguishes whether God is with us. And to me, you know, a church going somewhere without an engine, or a car like without an engine, is a church that never prays. That's not taking prayer seriously. For me, that's the engine this morning. See, we're doing a lot of, I don't want to say shows, that sounds a bit, but we can stand here and talk about a lot of things about the car this morning. But the engine is the thing that's taking it somewhere. And all I'm saying to you this morning, I guess, maybe you should become part of that. Now, when I grew up, my dad used to teach us, you know, before you go on the long road, some of the older people will know. I don't know, nowadays people just jump into the car and they just drive. My dad would say, please check the water. I know the older cars, you need to check the water, check the oil, check the tire pressure. Don't just jump in the car and just go on 1,000 kilometers. Okay, but this is supposed to be a good car. Because you might be surprised along the way and you might end up halfway. Now, I don't know. Maybe we are at a place where God is saying to the church, it's time that you check your water and oil. I'm in a place where God is just checking my water and oil again. Oil and water, water and oil. I hope that all of us will just get to a place during this time that we check our water and oil. Don't run into a wall. And I think God, by God's grace, He will take us into the wall just to stop and realize we cannot rely upon our own strength anymore. It's Him alone. It's Him alone. It's not how nice we make. We need all of those things, but it's Him alone. Listen, let me get to the picture. I'm going to get... This is the picture you have to remember. Three parties here in these two stories that we were reading. There's God. There was Petrus. Cornelius. There were the apostles and there were the world. Okay. I want you to see this. There's a Cornelius praying to God. He's praying to God, as the Bible said. There's a Peter praying to God. And God heard both of them. And God said, you know what, Cornelius, I've got an answer. I've got a man down there. I'll connect you. I wonder if more Peters will just rise up and say, God, show me the Corneliuses. I'm convinced this morning for the church that God connects the Peters and the Cornelius to the Peters, and He sends the Cornelius, to the Peters that are hungry. Now, we learn a lot, and we'll get to that from Peter's life. But I guess if we can humble ourselves and just get to that place, church will be so much different. See, a lot of us are sometimes at a place that we just pray about our own little world. And that's wonderful. That's great. We live in a human body exposed to this life with brokenness. And from time to time, we have to face certain challenges and stuff. And I don't want to belittle anything that you go through right now. And we need to bring that before God, and God will deliver us and set us free. And sometimes He will take us through that. Sometimes He won't. He will take us through, but sometimes He won't deliver us. But He gives us the strength to go through certain stuff. So it's different at all times. We live in this broken world. But sometime, somewhere, God wants us just to think a little bit wider than ourselves and our own prayer requests, and just take us to a place of the nations and the harvest. Look at the coral. The same with apostles and them entering into the world. If the church can just get into God's presence more and start praying for a lost and dying world out there, God will make the connection. Those doors are open. God can send. Now, it doesn't take the responsibility away from us to speak and engage with people. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's a place. Three things that the Holy Spirit would do when we get in God's presence and we look at prayer. The first thing, and we look at Peter's life, He will align our hearts. He will align our hearts. Peter gets into God's presence, and then Peter wants to talk to God about the Jews, actually, in so much words. Yeah, Lord, I like ministering to them. Peter tended to gravitate towards the Jews more. Because that whole vision that Peter had about the other objects and the scary, almost want to say, scorpions and stuff. That's why you're allowed to eat kriefen. No, okay, no, don't let me. Now, let me not get distracted. Okay. So here's the thing which I see in Peter's life here. We tend to gravitate towards the people that we identify with. That's just the law of life, okay? If you were here for the coffee, you probably spoke to the people that you connected with the best. Amen? You're very quiet. I do, okay? I'm a human being that struggles. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just relax, okay? That's not a sin, okay? We tend to gravitate towards the people that we connect with the most likely with. Okay, whether it's culturally, whether it's generationally, whether it's whatever it might be, whether we have certain hobbies in common, whether we tend to soort soek soort in Afrikaans, they say. Huh? Amen. Can I just see you? You still awake? Okay. Preach with me. But from time to time, there's nothing wrong. We minister in that crowd. We go into that crowd because, I mean, I know this guy. I work with him. I speak his language. We go to the same school, or my kids go to the same school. I work, whatever it might be, we've got a lot of things in common. And God uses that, and we should minister in that area. But if we become too comfortable in that area, we rely so much upon our own gifting, about our own flavor that we bring to this, because there's a lot of things that we can connect with, okay? That God needs to take us sometimes when we go into His presence in prayer, in our prayer closet, in the inner room, at the backstage there, that God needs to say to us, hey, I've got a Cornelius for you. Oh, no, Lord. No. Not Cornelius. Okay, I'm just sketching the picture here this morning, okay? Because sometimes we don't want to go there, because when I go there, I'm outside my comfort zone, isn't it? Have God asked you, I don't know about you, from time to time, just talk to that person. Oh, no, Lord, please. Oh, not that one. Lord, you don't understand. Huh? See, it's just me going through that. You're very quiet this morning. Help me here. Huh? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Carol. Listen, God knows that He needs to take us from time to time outside that comfort zone into a place of ministering to those people that we're not so often comfortable with. Because in this process, we have to rely more upon the Spirit than this side. And there's nothing wrong here. Sorry, almost fell here in my explanation here. Getting so passionate about it. Nothing wrong. God uses this. Okay, bless you. And please sow there in that area. Because God has given you, placed you in certain areas. But be open to the Holy Spirit when He wants to move you into a different realm, where sometimes we are challenged to tap into the gifts of the Spirit. Because here's the thing, when you do not know that person, when you haven't got all of that in common now, I have to trust the Holy Spirit much more here now for a door into the heart of that person. Now I have to open the toolbox with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God, a word of knowledge. God, a word of prophecy. Boom, so that I can just get into that person's heart. Amen? Here's the thing, I'm convinced that God wants to take us to that room, to that place, where we minister from that place. You know, 3 years ago, we had an encounter with the Lord, and it was about our next generation. And at that stage in my life, you know, when the Lord said, I want you to minister to the next generation, I want you to purposefully set your mind on reaching that next generation. Now, if you look around here, we are not the next generation. Okay, please. Now, there are some of the next generation here amongst us. Okay. The older people, you should see, amen, okay? We should be the most excited people of reaching the next generation. Amen? It's our responsibility. It's not their responsibility. It's our responsibility as people that's walked the road, that knows the truth, to go and fetch them. Okay, now I know it's not easy. I can give you a lot of explanations of why I would say no to God, why I would say, God, this is not working, and God, they're not interested in the youth of today, God, or they don't want the gospel anymore. And you know, I can give you a list, and I can probably write a book about what is not working. Okay, and it probably will be valid, but not in God's presence. And the Lord touched my heart and said, you know, I want you to direct this church towards reaching the next generation. Then I had to say to the Lord, Lord, but I'm comfortable on this side. I naturally just tend to minister here. I just connect with the older generation. It's the older generation. You can decide where you are this morning. But adults, what should we be? Older, this is a minefield now. Young generation. Okay, I'm talking about our children. And young working as well. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I see that need. I see that we're failing. I see that we miss it. But Lord, my heart is not there. But somewhere along the line, I found the grace of God just to help me to get into that place of just doing it. And we started this process, and only now there's little bits of fruit starting to come through. And I know there's a lot more that we need to learn and that we need to walk this journey. But here's the thing. Our heart follows our obedience. Sometimes we wait too long for our hearts to get in line. But we know the truth. And if you can give God your obedience, is much more important to God. I sat here the other day. I told this story in the first service. And we were ministering here. We had a course. And in the school next door, they're using our school hall. We made it available to them because they don't have a school hall. And there was so many things happening here anyway. So they were going in and out. And as the kids were walking past, I was sitting in the office there, at the back there. And you know when the Holy Spirit starts touching you. And I sat there and looked through the window and I saw that young man. I don't even know who he is. But at that moment, something happened here. And I had a compassion for that young son. And all I knew, it was just God busy with me, telling me I'm busy. I'm busy changing that. And I'm still on a journey. I guess I'll be on the table for a while still. People, if we get in his presence, he'll give us the heart for the Corneliuses. Isaiah 56, listen, let's quickly look at that. Isaiah 56, verse 3 to 5. Sorry about your chicken at home. Sacrifice it this morning for the Lord. Burnt offering. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the Inuk say, here I am, a dry tree, for thus saith the Lord to the Inuks who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. Even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of the sons and daughters. In actual fact, all God is saying in that scripture, let me summarize it, and the same thing with Cornelius. There are many outcasts out there, many Gentiles, many people out there. If the church could just get onto their knees and crying out in one accord, God is ready to connect us. God is ready to connect us to the Inuks, to the foreigners out there. Now, I don't know about you, but I just want you to think about this for a moment. Who's that foreigner in your life this morning? The one you tend to not to relate to, that you think, because they are there. God's just waiting for me and you just to come before him. He will align our hearts, and secondly, he will reveal the harvest to us. That's the second thing he does, when we get into his presence. You see, before Peter and Cornelius met, listen, in person, before they met in person, I want you to listen to this. They met in the spirit first. Before they met in the person, what did God say to you? You will meet a man. To both of them, he said the same thing. Go there. They met in the spirit through God. They connected to God, and in the spirit, something happened. Their spiritual man connected first. And here's the thing, I think that's the key for us as the church. If we can just get into prayer, we'll meet the Corneliuses, the people out there in the spirit first, speaking to them in the spirit first, before we go out there in the natural. But I am convinced that we sometimes rely so much about the natural. We run out there, we talk too much, we say too much, we preach the whole gospel to them, and then they don't want us, and we feel tired, and we feel rejected, and all of that. And we run back, and we're a failure. And oh, the pastor expects me to go and reach out again. And my leader expects me to do that. And I don't know. I don't want to. I think we should pray more and testify less. That's a strong statement. Maybe I will correct myself. Pray more and testify less. Now, that's strong. What are you trying to say? Let me just help you here. I think we preach, or say, use testify. Let's change that word. It's maybe preach less. That's maybe more what I want to say. Okay. We want to preach too much and pray too little. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to prepare, to engage, and to do a lot of that. That when we engage, the last 5%, whatever it might be, that's left for us to do, that little bit that God is asking us, that a lot of us can't even get past that 5% that's left. Just go and have a cup of coffee. I've already prepared. Look at Cornelius. God already prepared his heart. And all he asking Peter, just go with him. And when you get there, I'll show you what to do. Peter didn't have to convince him. He just had to share the gospel. He had to speak. But his heart was already prepared. Can you see that that's so much easier when we pray certain things into existence, when we meet in the Spirit first, when we see those people first? I mean, this past week I was in a meeting with some people, you know, and I'm driving back and I had a tough conversation with somebody. But I'm contemplating about this conversation. I'm saying to the Holy Spirit, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? Did I offend this person? There is an impossibility. And all I can say, because I had to talk about something specifically, and I knew if I was not talking about that, the shame or the guilt of basically disobeying the Holy Spirit would have been much, much stronger, that conviction, knowing. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit would ask you to speak about something, and then you're like, oh, I can't, Lord. What would he say? And he's gonna be angry. So this time I did that, and I wasn't well received. So now I thought, maybe did I miss it? And the Lord said, no, you didn't miss it. I want you to see what you need to pray for in that man's life. And now we went out in a good way. It's just sometimes you're so sensitive, you realize, no, that wasn't well received. Now, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit wants to show all of us the Cornelius is around us. And he would even give you specific details on what to pray for. And a lot of times you don't even have to talk about that. Just pray. God will do the work. Unless he asks you to come and join you. Peter, are you ready to pray? Amen. Jesus knew. I think we sometimes pray for the wrong people. I say it with respect. We need to get into prayer and ask God, who are the people that you need to pray for? The other night I woke up in the middle of the night and I had a name in my spirit. And I'm like, why is this man in my heart, man in town? And all I sense the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to pray for him. Pray for his salvation. So I've got that book at home where your name is in that book. You've got trouble. Not from me. Huh? I won't lay that book a lie around because then you might wonder. No, I'm just saying you've got God on your case. You should have such a book as well, huh? If your name is in that book, guess what? I'm going to ask God to not leave you alone. We should put our children in that. God, I pray that you will not leave them alone. God, I pray that whenever they are alone there, when they want to do stuff there, then you will be there. Thank you, Lord, that you are there where my arms cannot reach. But my tongue can reach you right now, Lord. And I speak prophetically, Lord, your word over them. Man, if we just realize what we have, we've got access to the Father. And all we say is, Father, we cry out for their salvation. And the Father hears that. And I spoke about that a few weeks ago, about that bowls. Remember? Bowls. Yeah, I get it wrong. See? The bowls of prayer. Okay? That we enter in, or we throw them into. And at one given moment, the Holy Spirit just pours it. The angel pours it out with fire on earth. I get excited, man. I want to say, amen, let's go and pray. John 17, verse 9. We need to pray for the right people. Listen to what Jesus said. My prayer, and this is just before he leaves. My prayer is not for the world, but for those who have given me, you've given me, because they belong to you. Jesus knew when to pray for who, I want to say. Jesus could have prayed for the world, but he prayed for his disciples at that given moment. And this is the thing about prayer. God needs to teach us sometimes how to pray. That's what he had to teach his disciples as well. Who are we this morning? Not to get into that place of corporate prayer. Not into that place of commonly coming together and say, teach me to pray. It would be very arrogant of me to assume I know all of it. As I'm standing here, I still learn a lot. I'm actually on a journey that I enjoy what I learn so much now, right now, about prayer in my own life. That I can just carry on and on. There was one message I would preach, one sentence, and that would probably be for now. That would be, we need to pray more. I would step off this platform and just do that. And I'm not saying that to make a show. I don't have a desire to preach a sermon. I know I have to do that sometimes. I know it's not because you pay me. It's just because I believe I'm called. But I believe if the church can get to that place and realize, if we only discover there's a weapon of mass destruction in our midst, or a weapon of mass construction in our midst as well, we will tap into that. Because it's not about our prayers, but it's about the one to whom we pray. Let me finish here. Sorry. Ephesians 2 verse 22 says this, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, this scripture to me, you can underline that word, built together. Built together, okay? That's not the houses out there. Okay. Built together houses. Three things that happens when we come together in any given moment, like on a Sunday morning, or when we come together corporately with some people to pray. There are two kinds of presences of God. The omnipresence, and David says, where can I go to flee from your presence? Huh? It's everywhere. You agree with me? Alomteenwoordig, omnipresence. And then there's the manifesting presence of God. Certain times, in your own inner room, you will experience His presence more. Certain times in the church, you will experience His presence more. But here's the thing, when you get to the manifesting presence, this scripture says to me, God has reserved, I want you to pay attention to this, a certain amount of His presence only for the times when we come together. Because God is a Father. He doesn't want us to experience the fullness there on our own. He wants us to experience some of Him while we are here this morning. Isn't that beautiful? He wants some of that maybe on a Tuesday morning when we pray together. God hears your prayers, just by the way, when you pray on your own. And He's there, and you should do that, and go for it. But there's something of the Father waiting for you when you come together. Corporate voice, I'm going to summarize that. There's the corporate voice when we hear together, the corporate anointing and the corporate task of us coming together in God's presence. No social media, no television. No technology can give us the authenticity of real life, of touching somebody. How are you? Can I pray for you? How's your week been? What can I do for you? God has designed us like that. In the inner being, there's something in all of us longing to be wanted, realizing we've got one Father, different mothers. Amen. One Father, different mothers. That's why we don't look the same. Okay. No, just joking. Last one. So we've said, we will align our hearts. Freddie, we align our hearts. We will open our eyes to the harvest. And the last one, which the Holy Spirit will do in our lives, which we've seen here this morning, is He will empower us for the task. So can you see how He works with us in this process? We get into His presence. Sometimes our hearts are not there. Then Jesus aligns our, or the Holy Spirit aligns our hearts. Then He opens our eyes to see the Inuks, the outcasts, the Cornelius, all the harvest out there. The church included this morning, individuals included. And then we sometimes feel so overwhelmed by the task that God says, even with that, I won't leave you alone. Here I am. Let me pour out your spirit on you. And He pours out His spirit on us. And what happened that day on Pentecost? God's fullness came down. And John 6 verse 44 says this, that no one can come to the Father unless I draws him. Eh? John 6:44. There's a difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I want you to listen to this. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to help us with fruit bearing. Fruit of the Spirit, to help us with that. Okay? You need the Holy Spirit. It's Him that drew you to that place of in Christ. You need that. All of us. You couldn't come to Christ without the Holy Spirit drawing you into that place. But once you're in that place, you need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon you to equip you for what He's asked you to do, to equip you for what he's shown you to do, the harvest, the Cornelius. And there's not just one, there's so many more gifts. So what happens, he pours out his spirit in us. We start speaking in tongues as a sign of that. And then we go out into the world boldly. I've got a Father behind me. In the Spirit. Amen. Let me tell you a story and then we're going to pray. We went camping the other day. So we went out at night when we went to bed. Through the middle of the night, a scratching. And I looked out and I saw some funny animal at the black bag trying to tear it apart. I looked and it's a porcupine. And I thought, oh, man, this thing is just going to take the rubbish all around. So now it's dark. I took out my contact lenses. My glasses are somewhere there. Now I'm getting down there because it's making a noise and all of that. I thought, you know, let me just chase it away. But the torch is not working. It's flat. Kids played with it. No surprise. Anyway, and my glasses somewhere. Now I'm standing there at the door of the tent and I'm going like, ah! And the iron pig would just, iron pig, look at that. This is a, now this is a joke. Sorry about that one. That would happen to me. Okay, forgive about, edit that one. Okay, that's just Afrikaans joke. Okay, forgive me for that one. The porcupine, okay, to correct myself. You know what, you wouldn't think, I believe how many times I thought before the service, don't say iron pig, and then it happened. Anyway, anyway, the porcupine, he just went two steps away, and then I said, looking at me, and then I go, ha, and he just stand there. So later, I found one of the shoes of my kids, and I threw the porcupine with the shoe, and it just ran about another meter or two, and then he came back. But then I thought about this. Isn't it a place where we find ourselves often, the church? That we make so much noise, but that we haven't got any power. I mean, we can make a lot of noise this morning. And we can make noise on a Wednesday night and make noise in a lot of other places, but we're not effective out there. Because somewhere our sight has been affected. And somewhere we've lost our light in a way, or maybe you've lost your weapon. I bet you what's on my list when I go camping now, I won't tell you. But anyway, doesn't God want to bring us back to that place? Just realizing, maybe I should touch your eyes again. Touch your heart again to see the harvest. And open your hand and use that weapon that I've given you. Let's close our eyes.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.